special meeting of the Finance Committee to start, and then we will be meeting jointly with Community Preservation. In Finance, the first item to be discussed is 227-10, which is honor the mayor requesting authorization to transfer the sum of $1,378,353 from wage reserve and $95,000 from the FY11 budget reserve to the FY11 Police Department personnel budget to meet the retroactive obligation of the City of Newton under the Joint Labor Management Committee selection decision regarding the Newton Patrol officers, huh?
Settlement.
Okay, Maureen, did you want to start by outlining or giving us some background on this, the settlement?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Once the settlement was decided, we took a look at what we had in the wage reserve account. As I believe you all know, money has been set aside over the last few years in anticipation of some award having to do with this contract. When we initially sent the first memo that we sent, we thought that this wouldn't be taken up until free cash was certified. That turned out not to be the case. And so the reason that we have the request in front of you the way that we do is we have $1,378,000 set aside in wage reserve. We are short by $95,000 for the retroactive piece. We're requesting taking that from the budget reserve for the moment, but that once free cash is certified later on in this month, we will come back to you and ask to move $95,000 back into budget reserve. Because this piece is all to do with retroactive pay, we thought it most appropriate to take it out of the free cash once it's certified and to leave the budget reserve number intact as we go forward.
For the record, I just want to mention that we're also here tonight is Chief Cummings, Dolores Hamilton is here, and John Daly from the union is here if you have any questions of those individuals. Did you want to, I mean, this happened long before you joined us with the city. I don't know if you wanted to mention anything about the contract itself. I mean, it covers, I believe it's, what, a 3 or 4 year period?
It's, it began January 1st of 2006, I believe. I do, as far as I know, it pretty much follows the pattern of contracts that were settled during this period. And so this retroactive portion is pretty much in line with what each of the other unions settled for from really, this was really fiscal 07, I believe, through 09.
Okay. Questions, and I should have mentioned that from finances, Alderman Salvucci, Alderman Fuller, Alderman Friedman, Alderman Danberg, Alderman Ciccone, Alderman Rice, and myself, Alderman Gentile. Are there questions? We've had this information out to people for several weeks so that people could get their questions answered. As both the president has indicated and myself, the idea is to try to move this along because the settlement's been around for about a month and with our summer schedule, we have yet to be able to take it up, and obviously people are pretty anxious to get paid. So I know, Lieutenant, you had a question, I believe that was answered about the breakout of the money. Are there any questions from anyone? John?
Process question here. What are the options before the board, and what are the consequences of those options? Obviously, one option is to approve the expenditure of the funds, but if it's not approved?
The only other option is, because I asked Donald Lynn today, and we have two options. We can either approve it, or we could reject it. We're not allowed to go in and, for instance, try to make tweak one of the areas or whatever, so it's either up or down.
What happens in the case that we vote it down?
If it's voted down, it's not funded. So, you know, I didn't ask her that question. I just asked her what our options were. So I don't know If it then could go back to the courts, who would have to, you know, order us to fund it, I really don't know. No one's here from a lot of doors, do you know?
I think we'll go back to the ARPA creator, but they can, I believe they can have the courts order.
We would probably go back to the arbitrator?
First, and then see what we can do. I think that's kind of where the option is.
Right.
For it,
right. That deal ended up being amended somewhat, didn't it, in what?
It's already amended.
Yeah.
With the help of the...
Vicki?
I have a question about an item on page 7. It's called firearms differential. Could someone explain to me what it says? The union proposes a new benefit, a firearms differential of 1% to be added to base pay. Could someone explain what that is?
It's a stipend to carry a firearm. Carry a firearm.
There are, I presume that all police officers, with the exception of the parking control officers, carry firearms.
All sworn officers carry firearms.
So is that 8% really 9% for all officers that carry firearms? And that it would be 8% for only the parking control?
Parking control doesn't have a firearm.
Correct. Are there any other officers that don't have not carry firearms?
Other questions,
Dan? Dave answered one question by email during the day that was very helpful. But one more question on the wage reserve, the $95,000. Is it that we don't have the $95,000 in wage reserve for this particular arbitration agreement for the police arbitration award, or is it that there's $95,000 of additional funds in wage reserve, but not specifically but targeted at other arbitration? We simply are using up 100% of our wage reserve with this.
Right.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Go on.
I'm sorry, I've got two. I'm going to go back to my previous question. So, in other union negotiations, as I understand it, if the board declines them, then it goes back to the bargaining table. Is this situation different because it involves arbitration or not? Maybe this is an unfair question. We really need a lawyer, I think, to answer this.
Well, I think that it would go back. Is she here? Oh, yeah, we'll get Donna Lynn. Well, why don't I wait for Donna Lynn? But I think it would go back to the arbitrator, and then it would go from there. It could take the course that they did in Boston, where both sides agreed to amend the original agreement. I would think that we would be in the same position. I don't know, because I don't ever remember us rejecting a contract settlement, right?
That's fine, though.
Stephen, you know?
It's still subject to the appropriation powers of the board. And the board can't do it, but go back. That doesn't necessarily mean that the arbitration board is necessarily going to change the arbitration have rules. But the reality is, the parties are affected.
All right, you got another question while we're waiting?
The other question was just to follow up on the issue of the firearm differential, and Chief, if I understood you correctly, you described it as a stipend, but it's actually just extra pay. It's not a stipend that's meant to be used to purchase a firearm, is it?
No.
It's just additional pay, is what that was.
So they didn't get that. The arbitrator will get that.
No.
Can you come up with that one, John?
If we can get it, we'll take something.
I don't want to put you on the spot. Donalyn, the question is, you know that we either voted up or down, but the question has, what if we were to vote it down, what then happens?
You've got a non-binding arbitration, so I think you end up back at the JLMC to start the process, you know, start the process again.
Okay. Other questions? Yes.
Just so I understand, this was a bargaining agreement with the union. Is this something that had to go to arbitration because they didn't agree on this? And the arbitrator says it was favored for the patrolman, and we have no obligation to pay it, even though the arbitrator said it was okay, you had to do it?
Well, if it's non-binding arbitration, that's what it is. But they went through you've got them before you. There were a number of elements that went through, and they found for the police on certain ones, and they found for the city on certain ones, and, you know, they hope that everyone goes through, even though it's non-binding, you go through in good faith, and, you know, you've come to an agreement. It's also a sense of how someone is going to view these. You can see the reasoning set forth in there of how, you know, an arbitrator is going to view the different elements that have gone through.
And this has been going on since 2006?
Yeah, but it was not, both sides agreed to go to the non-binding arbitration, correct?
That's right.
That hasn't, I don't know how long ago that started. That didn't start in 2006, but it covers the period starting in 2006.
Yeah.
And again, it's not like one side was successful with every point. I mean,
the bottom line is, pay it.
Well, I agree with you, but...
No, no, not that. We're just saying the arbitrator said pay it. That's I understand it.
Right.
Pay some things, not pay others.
Right.
I understand.
Yes.
Can I just ask why we don't have enough money in wage reserve? Did we not? Usually we put away extra when there's something, when there's a negotiation, because we don't know. So it was a low guesstimate? Or it was just
not very far off.
$95,000.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I know usually we push it. Put it on cushion. Okay.
I mean, it literally covers a period of it at least 4 years. So
yep.
I think that it came pretty close to what the figure was.
Yeah. And I think the process was started about 2 years ago, though.
Yeah. All right, any other questions? Yes.
Motion approved.
Okay.
It's just one more, this may be a Maureen question. In light of this settlement, do we need to revise this coming fiscal year's budget?
No, we have enough money in the wage set aside for this year to cover what this year's cost would have been, which is why we're taking the 95 from free cash, ultimately, because that strictly is retroactive.
Okay, is a motion to approve. Any other comments or questions? All right, seeing none, all those in favor? You can vote. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So we have a full committee now, right? 8 to 0. Right? All right, so the motion passes. Now, next item is, who's the vice chair of...
yeah, that's what they say there, too.
You mind if I get this started, or you want to...
No, go ahead.
All right, next item is, which is jointly referred to the Committee on Community Preservation and Finance Committee, is docket item 88-07-4. Community Preservation recommending that the sum of $452,000 be appropriated from the fiscal 2001. That's supposed to be 2011, right?
Correct it on those.
2011 General Reserve of the Community Preservation Fund and expended under the direction and control of Director of Planning and Development to satisfy a court judgment adjusting the price paid in 2007 for 20 Rogers Street. before I ask, is someone from community preservation? Okay, Nancy. Why don't you come on up? Did you want to present
it?
Well,
if you want to.
Whatever.
I'm happy to do it.
All right, good.
Yeah,
I can pull up too.
The reason why we're attempting to take this up to, well, we are taking it up tonight and attempting to get it to the full board is, as far as interest goes, the clock is ticking. So every day that goes by, we're accruing interest for this settlement. So if there's agreement that it should be paid, let's pay it sooner rather than later and save the taxpayers a couple of dollars. Okay, Donalyn.
Thank you. And thank you for gathering up this joint committee so quickly. I do appreciate it, especially with the interest issue that Alderman Gentile had mentioned. As you're all aware, in May 2007, the City of Newton acquired the property at 20 Rogers Street, Newton, which is adjacent to the Crystal Lake Bathhouse. At that time, we had an appraiser come in and give us a valuation and a written report that went along with that, stating that in his estimation, the value of the property as it existed at that time, which had a burned, partially burned house and a burned out garage, was $2.3 million. That process went through the CPC and was approved as an acquisition of additional recreational space so that we could make the Crystal Lake Bathhouse area larger, and many of you have seen it and understand what it looks like now. Pat Hannon, who had previously owned the property, surprisingly sued the city about a year later. And when I say surprisingly, he doesn't have any equity in the property. Any money that he would have gotten for a different fair market value price is going to go to other creditors. Regardless of what his motivations were in bringing the lawsuit, we ended up in June 2010 with a jury trial. I want to just take a step back and say that when Mr. Hannon had first brought his lawsuit, he was claiming, somewhat bombastically, that he wanted $4 to $5 million for the property. And that was his expectation in this lawsuit, that he was going to get $4 or $5 million. In the month prior to the lawsuit, we, through a series of motions in the law department, forced him to hire his own appraiser, and the judge said, you're going to have an appraisal report. They had no appraisal report because they wanted to just go on, you know, emotion or testimony as to, you know, what other numbers might float out there.
Why didn't you just let him do that?
What's that? Because then we would have had a $4 to $5 million number before the jury.
But he would have lost.
How do you know?
I
wouldn't shoot crap like that.
Yeah. So, in any event, when his appraiser was forced to do an appraisal report, the number that he came up with was $2,720,000. So I would say at that point the city had a win in keeping him down to a number. We could have decided just at that point that, you know, I could have come before the committee at that point, the CPC and the finance committee, and said, you know, Pat Hannon's number is pretty low. I think we should just take it. But we still had an opportunity maybe to get back to our $2.3 million. And we had, despite what you may have read in the paper, no offer of settlement whatsoever from Mr. Hannon to resolve the matter. So we tried it. And, you know, our ceiling at that point was $2,720,000. And, you know, the floor was maybe it was $2.3 million because that's the number we were putting out there. And the jury came down with, they're funny cases. They're asked one question. What do you think the fair market value of the property is? And so the number, they have no idea, that Mr. Hannon had debts before, or where the money is going, or they don't, that evidence is not admissible in a case like this. So they came out with a number of $2,720,000, you know, which was our ceiling, but it was worth trying the case to see if we could get it lower than that number. Now, could we appeal this? You know, people may say, well, you know, why don't you just, you know, shoot for crap and go ahead and appeal it. If you appeal it, the only thing we can get is a new trial. We have already tried our case. They know how we're going to present it. And let me tell you, they're going to come up with a number that is higher than $2,720,000. So I can guarantee you that if this is retried, our ceiling of risk will be higher than the number that we had to start out with. And I do not recommend appealing the case. I mean, I think it's even within a margin of error of what our initial $2.3 million was. And the instructions to the jury on these cases go like this. What is the highest possible price that you would assign to as a fair market value for this? So they're never going to come up with your lowest number. They're going to come up with whatever the highest number they can reasonably come to is. What would happen if this committee, if the joint committee decided we're not going to vote for the, you know, we're not going to vote for the money? The city would probably be sued for contempt, I would imagine, for not paying, is how it would work out.
In fact, CPC considered that, what would happen if we just, if interest is accruing at $4 and some cents a day or a week or something.
Yeah, I think it might be $10 a day, but.
It's just somewhere in here. But anyway, okay. we said what would happen, that's not very much money, you know, what would happen if we just didn't pay it. But I think you had felt that there would be a bigger issue.
Yeah.
And would be in contention, you couldn't do that.
Right.
Questions? Yes.
Why do they ask what is the highest value? Why would they ask that? Why would they ask
in an eminent domain case? This isn't a purchase price case. It's a little bit different. If you're purchasing the property, you have a different standard for what you follow. In an eminent domain case, because eminent domain is not a let's say a favored process for, you know, the government taking someone's property, no matter what, you know, their financial condition is, it's just not favorably looked upon.
So it's not
they give the benefit
fair market value.
No, it's not. It is not. It is the highest price that a willing buyer would pay at that time for eminent domain.
Yeah. Oh.
Could I ask Alice, what impact us paying this money will have on next year's round of funding?
I can give you an updated table of available resources, which actually shows that we have more available than
you have in the packet. We'll take one and pass that around.
So we're not shutting down some really super project.
Well, we don't have the new consultants yet, so we don't know. But no, I mean,
no one has.
Okay.
That's coming around.
In
a bunch of them.
Okay. I'm going to have to attack.
Okay. So, do you have a question?
I have it.
No, it's all right. I just wanted to know why, you know, they had two separate appraisals. Why you just said it, but they picked the highest one. But the one with the bottom one didn't make any difference at all.
Then I'll move it in community preservation approval. The only trouble is I forgot he's on community preservation.
Well, not many of them are here.
Fuller-Lappin.
Okay. Connie, Fuller, Lappin, Gates. That's my hand in the back. Okay, so all in favor in...
Wait a minute. Will you slow down?
Sorry.
There might be other questions.
I didn't see any.
Does anybody else have any other questions?
I don't know if I have new questions or not. I apologize, Mr. Chairman. I stepped out for a minute, but I've got two questions. One, what if we do not vote these funds? What would be the disposition of the property that was asked, okay.
Yeah.
So someone,
Donovan said that we would be held in contempt.
Right.
So basically it's a board. We,
yeah.
We have to do it. And the longer we delay it,
then we owe,
we owe more right. money.
We are accruing at a remarkably small rate. Which is
yes, because it's not, luckily, it's not the 12% per annum that you would have a statutory interest. It's measured by a different,
right. yes. Whatever, things that four, whatever it is.
$4.49 a day, if you have a small mayor's letter.
The other question that I have is, I believe Alderman Salvucci and I have both made comments about the public, the private fundraising for this, these acquisitions. This property was originally acquired about 3.5 years ago, I think?
In May of 2007.
Okay. So almost 3.5 years ago,
right.
there have been notable public pronouncements by friends of Crystal Lake to be raising a lot of money. Is anybody aware of any monies that have been forthcoming from them, other than, I believe, a $15,000 grant many years ago, 3 years ago, to do a master plan, which was only a portion of the cost of doing that?
I'm not aware of those funds.
I'm not totally aware of it, but I have heard that there may have been some money put towards the lake. Water issues.
I believe the money that Bob was referring to was on the new conservatives for the Crystal Lake plan.
Right,
but I think but the actually, then you know, thank you for correcting that, because I believe it was the Friends of Crystal Lake had repeatedly publicly stated that they had intended to raise lots of money to support. So now the city is about to be another $450,000 in a hole on this project, and there's still no private.
I understand that they have raised some, that they're waiting for the final release of that design. I understand they have funded some kind of what needs to do for some kind of environmental or water quality study, but I don't have any written communication about that. I don't know what it is.
John, there's two different groups. There's the Conservancy,
yeah.
and then there's the Friends of Crystal Lake, and both groups have kind of separated. Both groups are doing different things regarding Crystal Lake. So the Conservancy was doing a number of planning stages to come up with both the water quality testing and with the design for developments. And they're still in the fundraising mode. I think they raised $10,000 or $20,000 just for the design and the water quality side.
Yes.
I don't know who else knew that if something goes to court for eminent domain, that the highest price is what would be decided on. It would have been nice, I think, for the Community Preservation Committee to know that before we purchased, or the city, before we purchased the property. Just to, I guess we should have just had that in the back of our mind to know that it could cost us more than whatever price we negotiated. I had no idea.
When it was purchased back in 2007?
Yeah. No, but I didn't realize that if there were if there was a lawsuit, they would have asked for the highest. What is the if that's the jury? What is the highest price you think this could go for?
I think there was always a there's always going to be a threat of a suit in any eminent domain case for more than what you've purchased it for.
Okay, because personally I didn't know that. I don't know. I'm just wondering if. I just think it's good to know.
Right.
And maybe if we had known that, maybe you wouldn't have bought it.
There are some members sitting around the table that did raise that. Not, I was not one of them.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. It did raise what if?
This is not a surprise to me that we're here
not
tonight.
Not that we're sued.
That we ended up having to pay more money. We discussed it. And there are other aldermen, too, that realized that the figure was low. So I'm not surprised that we're here.
Well, I didn't realize that that's how in an eminent domain case
so it's good that Mr.
would come out.
Cannon's shy walk.
Yeah. I'm not thrilled that we're going to have that much less community preservation money to use for other things.
Right, but I'm also, I'm happy that it's not coming out of the general fund either, all right? At least we have a different source, so it's not a hit on our general fund. So
right, but
I hear what you're saying.
It is a hit
yeah.
on the community preservation fund.
Right.
and we did do an appraisal back at the time, and that was the number.
That's the $2 million,
right? That it went for, and we might have wondered if perhaps we should have done a second appraisal or something of that sort, you know, and then we would have had at least a little more argument.
But when we did the appraisal, I don't remember that far enough. But did we? I'm wondering if the appraiser looked at it and said, this is an eminent domain case, what's the most expensive? I mean, I'm just wondering, or did we get fair market value? Is the 2.3 was probably fair market value, right?
I think that was the case. I'm not domain at that point, was it?
Well, it was all part and parcel of the same thing. $2.3 million offering price was the one that we took it for because we knew it was going to be eminent domain. But that's what came in as the FMV.
Right.
And everyone believed that was the fair market value of that property. And a lot of people said, I'm not going to give you more than that, but I think we all understood that among the Gentile, the chair of the committee, the finance said that, you know, we could well end up paying more. At least I certainly did. Given how the way that this trial went, I was there for a very short period because I was in on another motion. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
But I mean, the judge pretty much shoved it down the defendant's throat and said, look, you don't have a number here. You go back and you find an appraiser and come in with a number, or you're not even going to get a trial. So he was between a rock and a hard place. He came back and tried the best he could. It's almost in 2020 hindsight, 3 or 4 years later, or however many years later, coming back with an appraisal when the market rates have gone up and then they dipped more recently. It's certainly less than what he paid
He paid $3 million for it.
With a house on it, but arguably a house that he was renting.
Right.
Although arguably, under his ownership, the house dramatically deteriorated.
Well, the fires were in.
And cutting holes in roofs and things, which he also did.
I guess, should the appraisal have been for not fair market value, but eminent domain value? I guess, I don't know.
So we would have been paying the same thing.
Whatever, there's nothing we can do about it. We're sued, we have to pay it. And I'll vote, I'll make a motion.
I'm good.
And in fact,
I'm prepared to accept that motion, and I will support it unhappily, but with the recognition that we have no choice and that this is under court order. But I would just like to say, you know, the city will have now spent $3,670,000 on properties around Crystal Lake, which we don't have money to do further improvements. Less than 0.5% of the total cost of this has been provided by any private fundraising, and I do not intend to support any further expenditures of city funds toward this project.
And just as a comment from the CPC, we also felt that we had no choice in the matter. And we also have, in the past, on the last thing we did for Crystal Lake Money, said kind of that's it.
Right.
Although this land is about the only land in the city for recreation purposes that we really could spend money on, because we purchased it. So, this is for what it's worth.
How's that legislation going, Alice?
Never got all the way back to the floor of legislature, so I've been told that having gotten to a house where it's meeting, it's not quite back to square one in the next session, but I don't know what that means.
So, John, I believe you were making a motion to approve this in 5 minutes, right?
Cheryl beat me to it, but I'll support
Cheryl's in
the speech.
Cheryl can figure it out.
Oh, in her speech. Yeah, thank you. So, in 5 minutes.
Okay, on the motion by Alderman Laffin in community preservation, all in favor, and that is Hess Mahan, Ciccone, Fuller, Laffin, Yates, and there's two absent, I believe. Is that right, Sean? Oops.
Three absent.
Okay. So 503 NCCP.
All right, and finance, all those in favor? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Danberg, Mr.
Alderman Danberg stepped out.
And?
Who else is there? Danberg. Well, anyway. So 6 in favor with 2 absent.
Yeah,
just
one.
Yeah.
Well, we just are. Okay, that concludes. Thank you very much. Again, thank you for coming in early. This will be reported out to the full board, and that concludes our special meeting.
Thank you for getting that early. I appreciate it.
I didn't get the highest price.
What did they take by a minute?
A house in the toll road. They lived on Bellevue Street up by the YMCA.
Really?
They took my house. $15,900. Of course, I paid
$14.
Right. Do we have it in our package?
For the sum of $1, you will pay for 15 days. And they don't pay that for 30 days, but I got an extension. They don't tell you how much they send out. 3 seconds.
How many houses were taken by Amendo Mejada?
I'm going to have a board action.
You're not going to get the value back.
Oh, no. They took my time.